Welcome to Go Home Heat, an NXT podcast. This will be our NXT version. We are doing things wonky this week because I'm going on vacation in a couple days, taking the wife and the Go Home Heat kid up into the mountains. So we're going to bang out a couple of these things today, and then we're going to put them out there and take some time to ourselves. I want to thank the GIN Project. I will actually be on the GIN Project's facilities this weekend. That is where the shop in which the woodworking is done, the antique store that he showcases his work, is up in that area. We're going to go check it out. We'll probably have some pictures on the website and or Facebook, Twitter machine. NXT starts with, we were promised two major announcements here, guys. And the Black and Gold, or Black and Yeller brand, which I like to call it Yeller because I like Yeller, promises these things to us. William Regal has all of the female performers along the stage and along the runway, and he makes his first major announcement, which after Adam Pearce interfered, sent a referee into the ring and anointed champions on the basis of a non-legal participant in a tag match being counted out as unconscious due to a chokeout. William will have no more of the WWE world. He is going to separate himself from them, and he has announced a women's tag team championship for only NXT women. Now, they kind of low-key, or not really low-key, because you had your first Dusty Cup Classic. They went in there and they created this huge women's division of talented wrestlers, and then they allowed them to pair up and have this Dusty Cup. And so why not go ahead and have yourself a women's division, which they've done here. He anoints the winners of the Dusty Cup, Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, as your champions of the division. Oddly enough, did not have a championship match, but the number one contenders come down, run their mouths a little bit, Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon, and we get a title match later tonight. So that will give us on this show a women's tag team title match, a women's title match, and a men's title match to go along with whatever else happens. So we got a loaded show here. The second announcement would be that NXT would have a two-night takeover. So if you're keeping track, WrestleMania week, there will be a two-night takeover from NXT. That gives you Raw on April 5th, the Hall of Fame on April 6th, Takeover Night 1 on April 7th, Takeover Night 2 on April 8th, SmackDown on April 9th, WrestleMania 37 Part 1 on the 10th, WrestleMania 37 Part 2 on the 11th, and the post WrestleMania Raw is on the 12th. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 straight days of wrestling content. There was a little back and forth between myself and a couple guys on the Twitter machine. I was like, well, I don't understand. And this is true to me. It's just me. I don't understand why people get mad if there's too much content. If there's too much content, nobody forces you to watch it. Just don't watch it. Give me as much content as you have. It's like when you go to the concert and they go, man, I can't believe they played too long. Well, you could have left. They didn't play too long. They played as long as they wanted to. If you wanted to stay, stay. If you think it's too long, leave. Nobody forces you to watch things or listen to things. But I enjoy the fact that I'm going to have the opportunity to watch all this content. That's just me, though. You do you, guys. Another interesting take from the week here is the wrestling WWE fan base or whatever, a lot of NXT fan base, which is included in that, was hoping that the WWE would legitimize NXT more by having it under the same umbrella. They didn't really acknowledge NXT this time around with the Survivor Series. It doesn't look like there will be NXT wrestling on WrestleMania with the two-night takeover. It seems like they'll need all their matches for that. So what NXT did, instead of trying to legitimize itself by going under the Red and Blue brand's umbrella, they have kind of pushed themselves away. You know, William Regal has made the statements that he's tired of dealing with WWE. and then he has this women's tag match by women's tag team division created. So this is an interesting counter move, but I believe both moves, the fan base idea of getting under that umbrella, NXT Hunter concept of pushing away from what the WWE is, I think both those moves would have been made, or one would have been made, the other was made, in order to get the same result, which is to legitimize the NXT brand as its own entity, which is what he's hoping to do here. Now, we're going to start this night off with Io Shirai versus Toni Storm. Okay, if you hadn't figured it out by now, KP's flying solo on this thing. Now, Io Shirai versus Toni Storm. I believe that Io Shirai is the best women's wrestler in the world, one of the best wrestlers in the world. And she's booked as such. She main events weekly, she main events the weekly episodes of NXT as much or more than anybody else. And that's the way they book her. And she's a little bit smaller, so she winds up in most of her matches, she has this back and forth in. And she can be in trouble and still force her way through that. And this was a great, great showcase. I'm not a huge Toni Storm fan, although I will say that that is changing by the performance as she has become a heel. This was a physical matchup. Both performers absorbed a great deal of punishment. Io did a fantastic job of selling for Toni at every turn. Toni returned the favor. I don't know. I think that Io's palm strikes are getting better, or she is more comfortable with certain wrestlers and the way she throws them. Toni hit her Storm Zero twice. Both times Io was able to kick out of them. When Toni goes for the flying headbutt to finish this thing off, Io moves and it turns into a crossface. We get the tap out eventually. Now, she had absorbed a crossface earlier and didn't tap out. This time, after the flying headbutt misses, she can't get to the rope. This was a great, great match. Io finishes one with a submission hold, not the, I call it the missile moonsault, but you call it what you want. It's a fantastic move. But the cool thing here is we finish this program up and we both performers come out of this thing. Toni has recreated her character and she can move on. And Io is continuing to anoint herself as the top performer on this brand, or along with Finn, and one of the top performers in the world. And this is one of the great title reigns she's been on. Every time she wrestles, it's a big deal. Every time she wrestles, it's a great performance. Now, then we have Mr. Eli Drake mocking Bronson Reed till he's had enough and he goes crazy. Imperium winds up coming out, and or Imperium does a backstage segment in which they invite Timothy Thatcher to come back into the fold. And if he insists, he can bring Ciampa with him. However, Ciampa is not whom they want. They just want Thatcher, but hey, Ciampa's okay too. Later on, Ciampa would say, I don't want to join him, I want to fight him, in a backstage segment. And Thatcher seems okay with it, but also the look on his face lets you know that he's tempted to rejoin his former friends. Okay, Pete Dunne is flanked by Lurch, which we call Birch and Lorcan, versus Atlas, and we get a extended squash here. Dunne winds up winning. He's a star. He says flat out, I'm the best wrestler in the world. Anybody wants a piece, come get some. And that's great for him. As far as Atlas goes, I don't know. Look, Atlas has all the moves. He has to find whatever it is that makes him interesting outside of the ring. Because once you ring the bell, he's great. But he will. They'll figure it out. Leon Ruff winds up giving a promo where he talks about all the struggles he's been through to get these opportunities. And he and Swerve are going to be heading into, it looks like he and Swerve will be some form of a matchup at one of the two nights of TakeOver. Adam Cole declares his independence and says, the Undisputed Era ends. When I say it ends, all I was doing was cutting the dead weight. Kyle O'Reilly, you take that. Theory, Austin is emotionally hurting from his rejection by Dexter Lumis, and he goes hunting for Lumis. That program is a mess. I love the way the way being the name of the group. And I love that Theory is going to go through, Lumis is going to go through Theory on his way to Gargano and probably at TakeOver get anointed your new champion, your new mid-card champion on this brand. Then we get to our second title match of the evening. We have Dakota Kai with Raquel Gonzalez versus Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon. We get a fantastic match. It is booked exactly like it should be booked. Kai is a fantastic wrestler. She has a lot of back and forth with both Shotzi and Ember. Raquel dominates when she's in the ring. The baby faces figure out a way to isolate Gonzalez. She still winds up monstering her way out of an eclipse, which I have never seen before. But eventually Ember and Shotzi wind up rocking her enough to get her near the rope. Ember takes the rocked Raquel over the top rope. Shotzi gets the roll up and new champions. I'm stunned. Completely stunned that they would take the belts off of the champs after anointing them that, especially as well as Dakota Kai plays her Shawn Michaels role and Raquel Gonzalez plays her Big Daddy Diesel role. I was stunned at this. However, we get the explanation real quickly as Io Shirai comes over post-match. Rocky, Kai are livid backstage, disappointed, frustrated, all those words. Io walks into their locker room and looks Raquel in the eye because Raquel was sitting down and says, I want you. Which is fantastic. Rocky stands up and you get the picture of the small champion challenging the huge monster, wonderful Raquel Gonzalez. And this is going to be fantastic for TakeOver. We've had Raquel basically booked as a monster for months. She has gone from an afterthought to the second most important wrestler in a very stacked division. She defeated Rhea Ripley, who was the poster child golden goose of the division for a very long time. Rhea moves up, so they kind of that spotlights Raquel even more. Then we get her with what is currently the most important thing in our division and one of the most important wrestlers in the world at their TakeOver. Probably means we're going to get EO main eventing one night, Finn main eventing another night. It's a wonderful way to book things. Great, great job on their part getting that done. Zoe Stark gets a quick promo backstage and actually it's a filmed vignette type thing where she talks about her struggle and her journey to get here along with the highlight film package of her. They're highly on board with her. This whole show is emphasizing this women's division. To piggyback off that, Caden Carter with Casey Catanzano versus Zia Lee Tian Shet. Man, I tell you what, I don't say that name well. But anyway, with her mentor and and Boa there as well. And it's a good matchup. They're wrestling pretty good. This is the toughest matchup for Zia Lee so far. And eventually, Zia Lee's physicality begins to put Carter down. As Casey is watching, Zia begins to tell Casey that, hey, this is all your fault. And she's continuing to pound and pound away at Caden while yelling at Casey. Casey can't handle it. She uses her crutch to hit Zia with, and that turns into her proceeding to beat down Zia with a crutch. As Zia backs away, Boa comes in, absorbs one crutch shot, rips it out of her hand. Caden and Casey wind up kind of hitting Boa a couple times and getting out of there. They run up the runway. Zia Lee and Boa go up to their mentor and they bow to her presence. And this is not going to bode well for Zia and Boa. I'm 100% sure because I have watched many a martial arts movie and you do not get humiliated like that. So the Elder will not allow for this. This is going to be rough for them, but it's going to be even worse for Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro. I'm 100% sure of that because I feel like we aren't done booking Zia Lee like we should be booking her, which is a monster. I thought it was a little weird that she winds up. I mean, I get that she backed away from the crutch shots, but to kind of hold her hand up and beg for mercy seemed a little out of character. As we've seen, like the footage they gave us as they trained her into being this new fighting force kind of led us to believe that she would be impenetrable to pain, although being human is kind of true. All right, Jordan Devlin's travel ban has been lifted, and he wants a shot at Escobar for the Cruiserweight Championship because Jordan Devlin decided that he is the only Cruiserweight Champion. He is the rightful Cruiserweight Champion, and Escobar is livid. So we're going to get Devlin down here to wrestle Escobar at one of these two takeover nights. That's going to be sleeper. That could be a match of the night type thing. Although, a match of the night is going to have to be better than whatever Finn Balor does and whatever Io Shirai does. So that's going to be tough, but it's a sleeper for that. Grizzled Young Vets versus Legado del Fantasma. Escobar is too busy arguing with Regal about this said title match, so he kind of sends them off to go do their thing. The Grizzled Young Vets come out and talk about how how Legado del Fantasma is lackeys, which they kind of are. Before we can really get this match going, good little, it feels like this is going to be a big deal, right? We have four very talented people in the ring together. But before it can get to all that, we have a kind of hot start, winds up stopping when two men in space suits are at the top of the railing. Now remember, the two men in space suits wind up getting jumped by Escobar and Phantasmo crew and ruining their chance to have a match. So we assume that this is going to be Fandango. It is not. It's MSK. And MSK comes down and begins to do the beatdown thingy. Then, of course, as Legado del Fantasma believes they have avoided such beatdown, we have Breezango jumping them from behind. The faces hold the ring, and we get a little dance party. Because when Fandango's around, everybody wants to dance with him. How far has Fandango come? He is so to have come from just being that dancing guy that people remember to being a quality performer. And I love watching Tyler Breeze wrestle. I can watch him wrestle all day. This is, so more importantly, we're probably going to spin out of this with the Grizzled Young Vets, who are fantastic, versus MSK, who are fantastic, and Legado del Fantasma, who are really, really good, versus Breezango, who are even better than really, really good. So those will probably be two more of the matches that we wind up getting at Takeovers 1 and 2, and I'm all for it, because those guys can, dude, come on. That's a lot of talent right there. Then we get our main event in the evening, Finn Balor versus Adam Cole. I stand by my claim that Finn Balor is currently having the best matches in the world, besides Io Shirai, and it's a funny state of pro wrestling now that when I say somebody's the best wrestler in the world, sometimes I have to say best male wrestler in the world. And it's not the way it used to be where you would think that it was too. Basically, it's because some of the women's wrestling is better than men's wrestling nowadays. Get mad if you want to. It's a fact. Women's wrestling is killer right now. All over the world. It's amazing what you're getting on all these different shows. Okay, anyway. Moving right along to this particular match, however, this is somewhat of a Cole match with Finn Balor playing the role of Adam Cole. Obviously, Finn has had just great match after great match after great match lately. This is no different other than, I will say this, this episode of NXT was a bit absorb a finisher and kick out heavy for me. And this match was kind of like that too. Personal preference thing. I kind of like my matches to go. We are fighting one another to get to see who hits the finisher. One kick out a piece, that's all right, I guess. That's fine. But once you start kicking out two and three times on one another's finishers, it gets a little wanky for me. Although I do know that that is the way of the wrestling world now, and it's fine. I still enjoy it. I still enjoyed this. It's very good. Finn winds up absorbing pretty much all of Cole's finishers, and then he gets Cole on the outside of the ring. Kyle O'Reilly comes up. There is no physicality between O'Reilly and Cole. However, he's distracted enough for Finn to hit the 1916, roll him into the ring, hit the coup de grace, get the 1-2-3, and still NXT champion. Then he rolls, and he kind of rolls away. He's been beaten up. He's tired. He's sitting in the corner. O'Reilly walks, approaches the ring, comes over the barricade, approaches the ring, looks at Finn, and Finn kind of points to Cole like, well, he's all yours now. I just wanted him for the match. And O'Reilly puts the beat down on Cole, who retreats multiple times. Officials get between them. Somehow O'Reilly manages to get through a bevy of officials and continue said beatdown until Cole eventually escapes. Finn's watching all of this. He's alone in the ring, which we know he's not alone in the ring. That's never how these things end. And we hear Finn say, "What took you so long?" And he turns around and there's Karrion Kross. And Finn puts the finger gun to Karrion's head. And we are going into that program. So we have managed to give Finn multiple. They did the same thing with Io they've done with Finn. They gave multiple quality opponents leading up to TakeOver. And now you face the killer. Karrion Kross, tick-tock, tick-tock. The force that never lost his belt to begin with. He was injured in his championship match. Wants his belt back. This is the program we thought we were going to get at TakeOver. Maybe even stick it in the middle of Mania. We're going to get it as a main event of TakeOver. They booked Raquel perfectly to make her the foil for Io going into this TakeOver. And we are getting perfectly booked programs for TakeOver main events. Also, we're getting the Undisputed Era's implosion, whatever you want to call it, breakup, where O'Reilly's going to face Cole. That is going to be a fantastic matchup with 173 kickouts. But it's going to be fun, and you're going to enjoy it. I had a great time listening to this. I think they did a fantastic job of letting us in on what TakeOver is going to be like, what some of those matchups are going to be on both nights of the show. I also feel like they did a fantastic job of starting the show out. You had three women's wrestling matches. You had one extended promo and highlight film. You had multiple backstage segments, and you started out the show with just the women on the runway and Regal in the ring explaining that this is the best division in all of pro wrestling. And then they went out there and they gave you matches and vignettes to let you know that that wasn't just lip service. That they really, you may not believe that. Hunter Hearst Helmsley believes that. Paul Levesque, he believes that. Shawn Michaels believes that. William Regal believes that. So they're going to push that angle because they believe that their version of women's wrestling is the best thing going in the world today in the pro wrestling environment. So this has been me, KP, for Go Home Heat, Go Home Heat Production, copyright 2021. Go.